All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Awesome. Take two. Mark.
Set up.
And
action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
What's up?
Hey, Penn, how you doing?
Living the dream, baby.
Oh,
living
man.
The Memorial Day dream.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear there's a bunch of parties happening without you, though. How you dealing with that?
Hey, man, you know, you want to come over to my house and hang out? That's cool.
Whether or not you're there?
I don't need to be there.
Awesome. Well, we hope everyone had a good Memorial Day weekend, dating us a little bit, but... hope you had a good time. We're going to jump right into the news.
Boom.
All right. Now, I know there's a lot of remakes happening these days, and one that you're always on me about is you're like, Mortal Kombat. One sec. When is that coming back?
Wait a minute. Let me check my notes. Mortal what now?
The 90s.
Oh, wait a minute. It's spelled with a K.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
Yes,
okay.
Yes. Yes. That's, now it rings true. If you had said that it has a K... That makes all sense of the world.
Combat.
Right, right.
Well, they've scheduled a release date for this movie of 2021.
Oh, thank God.
In March. I mean, can you wait?
You know what I'm going to be doing in March of 2021?
What?
Counting down the days till John Wick 4, which opens up 2 months later.
2 months later in 2021. John Wick 4, man, I wish it was sooner, but take their time. Do it right.
Do it right. You know? Do it right. Now, I mean, I just said that to be funny, but, like, are we throwing away, like, is Mortal Kombat a joke, or do I need to, like, am I going to spend 2 years making fun of this and then end up, like, in the movie?
It's really hard to say. Okay, so there were the two movies in, what, the 90s, early
right.
aughts or whatever.
Right.
But, and they were video game movies.
Right.
Take that as you will.
No news, by the way, on the upcoming Tutankhamun release.
Yeah, what's that happening?
That's still under wraps.
But they've been doing some stuff online, and I think those people are involved of like mini movies and stuff, like fan-made movies that are pretty entertaining. And apparently the last game was pretty good. I'm talking as someone who's not like a huge...
Right.
I mean, I just don't really... I don't play the games.
Right.
But... I mean, you could really do anything with a game based around just people fighting, right?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. I mean, whatever. Just make it interesting. Don't make it super boring.
So that gives me a little glimmer of hope, though, what you just said, because I like the idea. I think we live in a day and age where the big shots in Hollywood are not the only people making super cool movies.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right? So if there's somebody who's smart enough to sort of tap into these fanboys that are making, like, essentially movies online or fooling around, or if there's a way that they're going to capitalize on that, not in the literal sense of the word, but in the, or I mean that too, but, you know, I'm coming at it from the spirit of, like, hey, this might be a fresh way to get Hollywood, you know, add to the pipeline,
yeah.
You know. Why are you laughing at me?
Because you start off, you're like listing all these things, and all I'm thinking in my head is like, oh yeah, so Amazon, Netflix, Hulu, they're all doing this, thinking these guys.
No, I call bullshit on that, and I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. You're pissing me off now. There's no difference between the big shots at Amazon and Netflix and the big shots at Warner Brothers and Paramount and Universal.
Okay.
The people that I'm trying to give a shout out to, the people that I'm trying to encourage are... The guys who, and I don't want to name names because I don't want to embarrass them, but, you know, people who used to work here, you know, and people who are, you know, doing their thing, working day jobs and making movies on their own
right.
and doing the best they can with what they got. And some of the movies are going to suck, of course, because, you know, whatever.
Right.
But somewhere there's interesting people making interesting movies that, like, good for them.
Yeah,
I'm saying if you're trying to say that Amazon and Netflix is like a fresh adding to the pipeline, that's a bunch of shit.
I'm just messing. Yeah. But it is cool to see like many industries taking this turn. Like for instance, I mean, we've talked about Sonic. We'll I think we're going to talk about it here and again in a minute or two. But for instance, like the Sonic games have gotten really kind of blasé. And then there were some guys just were like, I can make the retro levels and I can make them cool.
Yeah.
Sega came around and said, hey, why don't you guys make the next Sonic game? And it was awesome. So anyway, so John Wick 4 also coming out in 2021, 2 months later. I don't have any Suicide Squad news. But
so that wraps the podcast.
There's no dude news.
Take care and party on.
But I don't want you to think that DC's not up to ridiculous things, because their Super Pets movie has now been pushed back to May 22nd, 2022, according to Deadline. Are you familiar with the Super Pets? I feel like this is like your number one thing.
I'm not at all familiar with the Super Pets. Like, not even a little bit.
So at one point during the golden era of comic books, DC started giving their superheroes pets. And then, of course, those pets also had respective powers.
Nice. Like, I dig it.
Crypto the dog, the super dog.
Okay.
I forget what the bat dog's name is. There's a bat cow. And apparently they're making a movie of just the pet characters teaming up.
Sweet.
To do things. Will they talk? I almost hope they don't. Mm. And it's like super hyper real.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. What was that movie where it started out as a silent film and it was all about, it wasn't called, somebody's going to write us, podcast@penncinema.com, and remind me, what was that movie? Came out a couple years ago and it was absolutely brilliant.
The Artist?
That's what I was going to say, but then I got embarrassed. Maybe that wasn't it. So I think you're right. I think it's The Artist. And the whole movie, he's a silent film star, so the whole movie's silent. But then the problem is he gets fired because when they introduce sound, his French accent, I think, was it his French accent or his lisp?
I actually didn't see The Artist.
Oh, my God.
Stop
what you're doing. Press pause on this podcast and go watch The Artist.
We'll be back.
The Artist was one of my favorite movies that I've seen at Penn Cinema. When I reflect back and try to name 10 movies from it, it's not in the top of the list.
Right.
But it always squeaks in there 9th or 10th because it was such a different approach. I mean, really? You've never seen a movie like this. You know, the star is silent. You know, he's talking on screen, but it's a silent film, so you don't hear anything. And then, of course, at the end of the movie, it's sort of revealed, like, oh, that's his whole problem. It's fine that he talks funny. And I can't remember if it's because he has a French accent or because he has a lisp.
Yeah.
But either way, he talks funny. And it was fine when silent film, but then when the film industry included sound, all of a sudden it was a big problem for him. And that could be like what they do with Super Pets.
I don't know. You might be onto something there.
Probably not.
It might be more like Homeward Bound. You know, they don't even try to dub over their voices. It's just people talking. All right.
I can't just sidebar. I know this is not news, but I am really excited for The Secret Life of Pets.
Really?
I think it looks so, like, it's so corny and cliche, and I know it's a kids' movie, but it's just funny. Like, if you've ever been around dogs, or, I mean, I'm a dog guy, so I don't have cats or whatever, but I'm sure cat people are the same. Like, people always tell you what the dog is thinking.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, oh, look at her. She wants, you know, whatever. And sometimes you crack yourselves up imagining what she's thinking or whatever. And I watch these trailers and like it's so obviously written by people who know pets and have that insight.
Yeah.
And like I know it's a kid's movie, I know it's dumb, whatever, but I'm just saying, like, I think it looks funny. I'm gonna watch it.
The trailers look good. It makes me want to watch the first one so that I can enjoy the second one.
It reminds me of Look Who's Talking. Remember John Travolta did that movie? It's the same thing. Like, people love to tell you what that 6 week old baby is really thinking.
Yeah.
And it's fun to like amuse yourself thinking about it, you know.
Is that open this weekend?
No, I think it opens on June 7th.
Too far away.
Yeah.
Too far away. Okay, do you got some news for me?
do I? I mean, well,
it's all written down there. Read one.
We do have I'm going to skip over. I'm going to let you do that,
okay.
the next one. But right. I'll talk about the two after that. We had a fantastic time, which we're going to talk about in a minute, at the screening of Booksmart, the Penn Cinema podcast screening.
Yeah.
Which all the cool kids were there. So if you weren't there, that's how you know.
If you're cool enough.
Right. I mean, I'm not saying we were actually taking attendance, but maybe we were.
We knew.
You were excused if you did already see Booksmart at the Regal screening prior.
That's the only reason the Pirate Dave got
Out. I'm just saying, we gave him a pass because we knew he had already seen it. And we loved it. Spoiler alert, we loved it as much as he did. So. Anyway, one of the things we discussed at that screening is the much talked about constant injury news out of the James Bond set, and whether or not that was legit or whether or not it was part of some sort of a stunt to keep themselves in the news. So the latest is that Mr. Craig, Daniel Craig, playing the titular role. I believe that's what they say, right?
That is what they
say. That is what they say. And I, you know, any chance I can say to throw that word in there, man.
It's my fifth grade self is just like, don't react.
It's a word.
Oh, it's definitely a word.
It's a word.
You can use that word in everyday language.
But I don't think you should say that word. I think that's an appropriate word when you're writing something.
Right.
Like if you're writing a magazine article or a newspaper article or an email.
Well, how often do you hear someone verbalize it?
Yeah, I'm just saying maybe there's a reason they don't.
And here it is on the internet forever.
Which we just learned. Anyway, Daniel Craig is undergoing minor ankle surgery following his recent onset injury in Jamaica, which to me is like, it makes me nervous. This is one of my favorite franchises. I love Daniel Craig. I love the James Bond franchise. And he's my favorite Bond. And I'm not trying to cast dispersions. And I'm 100% on board with this film. But for the love of God, enough. Shut up.
Yeah.
You know, to me, it's kind of like a pro athlete. Mm-hmm. Like, you're a pro. You're a professional. You're getting paid a shit ton of money to be out there being James Bond.
Right.
Suck it up. And if you're having minor ankle surgery, then go have the surgery and don't whine about it.
Let's compare it to Tom Cruise, Mission Impossible, whatever the last one was.
Dude.
Where in the trailer, you see his foot get jacked.
Right.
Like, wrecked.
Yeah.
And it was just like a small blip that had happened. I don't think it even came out until like the trailer was out.
Right.
Yeah.
Because Tom Cruise is a professional, and I'm not trying to say Daniel's not, but I'm just saying, like, it makes me nervous. I would rather be getting constant drips about how great, like, oh my gosh, Daniel Craig just did this incredible stunt. You wouldn't believe it. Wait till you see it.
Right.
Like that, I'd rather be getting that kind of news dripping from the set rather than this constant, like, oh, he doesn't feel good today. He hurt his ankle. He's got a long toenail.
You probably like trip getting out of the trailer or something.
It's funny. You ever watch an old movie and all of a sudden Daniel Craig's in it?
Yeah, and you're like, whoa.
Whoa, all right.
Okay.
Yeah, I never heard of him until Casino Royale.
Oh, really? You ever watch Layer Cake?
Didn't that come out after Casino Royale?
Ooh, it might have.
Well, here's the thing. Whether it came out before or after in this conversation is irrelevant because I saw Layer Cake after, like I saw it online.
Okay.
I didn't see it when it hit the theater, so I don't remember.
It was probably around the same time. I don't know if it was filmed before or after. But it was still when he was, like, doing mostly British film.
I love that movie. That's is that the one where he gets shot on the steps in the closing?
Yeah.
That is just freaking brilliant.
Yeah. That movie is so good.
I mean, I hate that ending, but I love it.
And you know how the layer cake has the number 4 as the A?
Yeah.
My mom's always like, oh, that 4 layer cake movie.
Oh, my God. Land. Come on. Okay,
right.
So, and then I have a little, it's not really news,
okay,
except that it's just something interesting that I learned. I've been in the business, in the movie theater business for 12 years, and I've continue to learn a lot. And one of the things I learned this week is that, so this week there were two exciting trailers that got dropped, the new Downton Abbey trailer and the Terminator Dark Fate trailer.
Right.
And so you and I were talking about the screening for Booksmart, and we were like, oh, this is going to be great. We'll put the Downton Abbey trailer, and we'll put the Terminator trailer, and we'll put Good Boys, and we'll put Joker.
Mm-hmm.
We had a great lineup for that. I went up to the booth to put the show together, and we didn't have trailers for Downton Abbey or Terminator.
Hmm.
So I thought, well, that's weird. So I logged on to the place where we download content, and there was neither one of those trailers were there. I thought, well, that's strange. Why didn't we download this content yet? So I went to the I called the company that manages our content for us, and they were like, oh, well, we're not seeing it. Your integrator. Your integrator, you know, probably has the files where you can't see them.
Oh.
Well, that sounds stupid. But so I called my integrator, Christy Digital, and Christy was like, no, we don't have any files that you can't see. All of the content that's available is showing up on your server. So I called back to DCDC, and I was like, what's the deal with this? And she was like scrolling through all of the available trailers, and she's like, oh, those trailers haven't been released to theaters yet.
Oh, that's weird.
What?
When does that, like, why would they hold it off like that?
How stupid is that? I mean, we've talked about that on the show a few times, how Hollywood and the studios often don't work with any common sense whatsoever. So Downton Abbey drops this new trailer, gets an incredible amount of hype, goes into Memorial Day weekend, a big freaking weekend for movies.
Yeah, and they don't have it playing in front of film.
And theaters aren't playing the trailer.
That doesn't make any sense.
Is it possible that Penn Cinema's getting screwed? I really don't think so.
I don't think so.
I really don't think so. But if you're listening to this and you saw a Downton Abbey trailer at a movie theater this weekend, let me know. Podcast@penncinema.com.
This is interesting because this is one of the things I've noticed about, especially since we've been doing this show, is like we'll review trailers for movies and like then I'll come see a movie and maybe you'll have a trailer for that film, but it won't be like the most current one.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm like, that's kind of weird that they wouldn't be showing like the new...
Well, it's funny because this has happened to me before where we had a big premiere and then at the last minute I was like, oh, we should add the new whatever trailer that, you know, everyone's excited about. And I ran upstairs and didn't find it and I was just jerked that we didn't have it.
Yeah.
But I didn't ever dig into it. I didn't, you know, spend the time to figure out where it was and why we didn't have it. And so, this was something new that I learned that I, you know...
I wonder if it has to do with burnout. Hype burnout.
Could be.
I'm just flexing my marketing terminology skills.
What?
Speaking of flexing marketing terminology, Todd McFarlane has threatened to walk away from as much Bollywood Spawn movie.
Bollywood?
I know.
I think it's Bollywood.
Bollywood? I don't remember why I put that word in there.
You were probably watching Good Will Hunting. And he said, no more tomfoolery, no more ballyhoo.
So apparently they're threatening him to change the script a lot. I don't know.
Todd McFarlane is not going to stand for that.
Yeah. that's for sure.
Wait, who?
Who? Here's my question.
Would we care more if it was Seth MacFarlane?
Seth MacFarlane, yeah. But who? I mean, Spawn. Okay, whatever. Like it's a famous property, right? But it's like Hellboy, right? Like they did it. Do they want? I mean, you're just gonna wind up with a crap movie like Hellboy again.
So what are you saying? You're on the side of the investors?
Yeah. Well, I'm also on the side of why.
So you're not on either one of their sides because you're like, why are we even doing this?
Yeah, because like they did it once, and then they did a television show, and they want to do a movie again. Like it's got to be, I don't know. To me, it's just got to be good. Maybe I'm just not Hot Topic enough for it.
probably.
I just don't understand. I mean, I don't know if hasn't been enough time or what.
What else did Todd McFarlane do?
Oh, he does. Well, he did Spawn. He writes Spawn. He's written Batman. He does a lot of comic stuff.
What do you mean he did Batman?
Writing.
Comics or one of the Batman movies?
Comics.
Yeah. So that doesn't count.
No. What has he done movie-wise?
Yeah.
Look that up.
I'm looking it up now, and I see Jack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Seth MacFarlane, on the other hand.
Seth's... Do you get the impression that he's kind of a jerk, Seth MacFarlane?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I feel like he's probably one of, like, the greatest guys to work with and the worst guy to work with.
Yeah.
Like, huge ego, unable, like, he probably doesn't like to budge on anything.
Right.
But then, like, when he makes quality stuff.
He's just so damn funny.
Yeah. Like, it just works out.
What was that movie he made that was awful? The Wild West or something? The Wild Wild West?
Oh. Was it called Wild Wild West?
It's something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
How the West Was Won. Or...
Yeah, but then didn't he also do, wasn't Ted one of his movies?
Yeah, and yeah. I loved Ted.
Yeah. People like Ted. I haven't, still haven't seen it.
Ted was brilliant. Ted 2, whatever.
All right. Deadpool, maybe, in Spider-Man 3. That's what they're saying.
All right, I have a different headline.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
Deadpool's going to be in Spider-Man 3. Podcast at PennCinema.com. Which headline did you like the best? That's going to be a new segment. This is the first of two segments.
Okay.
I'm going to introduce a new segment later in the show today.
Okay.
It's going to kill. It's going to blow your mind. But this segment I just invented.
Which headline did you like better?
Which headline did you like the best? Where we will each read a headline.
See who loves it. See which one sells.
Which one did you like the best? So
Deadpool maybe in Spider-Man 3 or
Deadpool's in Spider-Man 3. You gotta say it all slow and awkward though, like you did the first time. Like you weren't sure you should even say it out loud.
Deadpool maybe in Spider-Man 3.
So here's the thing though. I love Deadpool.
Yeah.
So on the face of it, your instinct is like, oh my God, that would be great.
Right.
But then dial it back just a bit. Roll it back. What do the kids say?
Hold up.
Yeah. I'm not sure I want Deadpool in Spider-Man 3. I feel like Deadpool is, I mean, I already said how I love Deadpool.
Right.
So this is, I'm not trying to harsh on Deadpool, but I feel like he has a totally different vibe. And I'm in a totally different mood when I want to see a Deadpool movie.
Yeah.
When I see a Spider-Man movie, I'm in a different vibe. I'm in a different place. Mm-hmm. And I want to sort of feel good and a little cynicism, but mostly wholesome fun. And Spider-Man's like, oh, it's Peter Parker, and he's all awkward and shy. One of my favorite all-time Marvel moments is when I think it was in Infinity War. Where was the place where they were fighting in the airport? And you first...
Civil War.
And I think it was Robert Downey Jr. that said to him, like, there's not usually this much talking when we fight. Spider-Man's like fighting and chatting up everybody, you know. One of the other superheroes is like, there's not usually this much talking.
Yeah.
So I just feel like he's a little hokey and a little young and you know, I don't want him hanging around with that Deadpool character.
Okay.
It's going to be a bad influence on him. He's going to be smoking cigarettes behind the gym by the end of lunch.
There's a lot of speculation about this Far From Home movie.
Oh, God.
Right? And maybe it introduces multiverse shenanigans.
Ballyhoo.
Right? The only way that I think I would be comfortable with Deadpool being in these movies, if he was a total different Deadpool, which I don't want because I love Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool.
Right.
Or... if they bring him over and they say he's from another universe, and now he's trapped in ours, and, you know, because he breaks the fourth wall and he talks to us,
right.
If he makes a comment about how he's toned down, like he has to be toned down. In
so
this
the
universe.
Audience needs a nod.
Yeah, where
that's
he's
what
like,
you're saying.
He's like,
okay.
Normally I would say something crass, but I just can't bring myself to say it or something like
in
that
in front of the kid.
Yeah, like that. Yeah, yeah. Something to like, so that he's still himself, but you realize that he's not.
Okay, I'm with you 100%. I totally agree. I'll just make this comment. And I'm not saying they can't do it because it's freaking Marvel. They've done a lot.
Yeah.
The difficulty level of pulling that off
is insane.
It's like a 9.9.
Yeah, I almost rather it just not happen or it be a different guy.
But what if they pull it off brilliantly? What if we're like sitting here in July going, oh my God?
Because if they pull this off, the next thing all the little kiddos are going to be wanting is, where's Hugh Jackman in Spider-Man 5?
Oh,
why
Christ.
Isn't he back? It's
no,
like,
I thought you were going to say the next thing they're going to want is Pikachu in Spider-Man 5.
Well, I mean, I thought that was just coming.
That was assumed.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I stepped on the elevator out here and there's this big giant Pikachu sign inside. And I was like, what's going on here?
You never know. That's what is my favorite part of working in this building is like you walk into work, you never know what's going to be around the corner. Like, you know, you walk in and there's a giant Chewbacca staring you in the face, you know.
All right.
Yeah, so, all right, don't even blink.
Well, that brings us to the end of news. But let's get into these trailers, man.
It's a good week for trailers.
It's been a great week for trailers.
Yeah. The headline, the biggest, I think the biggest one, I don't think it's the biggest one in terms of making the most money or whatever, but the biggest news, because everyone's excited about the Downton Abbey trailer.
Trailer of the week, you think?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definite trailer of the week. You're a fan of the show?
Love it.
Oh, me too. It's almost like I watched the trailer and I'm like, man, that could have been a whole season building up to this one thing.
Right.
Everything's great. I was texting our good friend... our good friend Jamie.
Jamie, what's up?
And I was like, "Oh my God, I'm in awe." And then like waited like 8 pauses down of how bad Mary's haircut looks.
My question on this film that they didn't really, I guess they slightly, there was one comment that alluded to it, but my question is like, what's the drama in this film? Like what, like most movies there's like a problem. Like so right. You're like, "Oh, the king and queen are coming." And then like there's a fire.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or somebody dies. But like, so are they keeping that under wraps? Is it going to reveal in a later trailer?
Okay. You want my take on
it? Yeah.
Okay. I think the two big dramas is one, the downstairs is going to have trouble like being themselves when they have to conform and have these other people basically take their jobs. Like, what do they do? Because that's what in the trailer you talk about, how the king and queen's like staff is basically coming
right.
in and pushing them out. So they... My guess is they plan this big thing and then it gets just wrecked by the, yeah. like they come to and they know we got to handle this. And then upstairs, it was a throwaway, like not a throwaway line, but it was one short thing where Anna says to Mary about if you're the heart of Downton Abbey and if you leave,
right.
it falls apart. So I think she's thinking of moving away. So it's going to be, they're hosting the King Queen
mm-hmm.
and Downton Abbey may or may not be like shutting down as a house.
That's and there was another throwaway line that I think reveals a third plot, which remains unstated.
Aliens.
Where I believe Mary says, so should we have this thing anyway?
Mm.
Like revealing like, oh, something, there was some other news that they're all grappling
right.
with.
It doesn't look like, I mean, the scene when they show up for dinner, it looks like everyone's there.
Right.
So maybe not a death.
Yeah. So I need to reveal I'm not qualified as a mega fan.
Okay.
I've watched all the episodes.
Mm-hmm.
I made fun of it when Amy first started watching it, and then I got completely sucked in and watched yeah. all of them, and then we went back and watched all of them again. I'm not as hardcore as my friend Andrew Yoder, but, you know, I'm still a big fan. Who is the guy, which character got killed off, like, in the last season, or maybe it was the next to last season? There was a husband-to-be, a fiancé... And he died in the car crash.
Oh, like, that was the end of the second season, I think. It was Mary's husband.
How pissed would you be if you're one of those actors and, like, the series is wrapping up and, like, the last year or the second to last season and they're like, oh, we're going to kill you off. And the actor's like, oh, well, whatever. You know, I was in the series for all this time and now I'm, you know, dead. But I'm all, it's like Christopher Moltisanto at the end of Sopranos. Now they're making a movie.
Yeah.
And, well... I can't be in it. Yeah, I'd be jerked. Hey, did we ever talk about Soprano news?
No. What's up with Sopranos?
They're making a movie.
Oh.
And the way they're dealing with it is... Wait a minute. Is this fake news?
I don't know, dude.
They're
making a Deadwood movie, so...
Did I fall for something?
Well, you usually do, so...
All right. Well, maybe I fell for it, and maybe it's real news. But listen, if you're counting us for real news, you're already screwed
up. You're
wrong. Right. You're already... That's your problem. But I think I read an... I know that I read something. It may or may not be fake news. But I read something where they're doing a Sopranos movie, and the way they're dealing with it is they're doing it as, like, a prequel. They're going back to, like, young Tony Soprano, like... His, like, as a kid, which I think is great news. I love that that's how they're dealing with it, rather than trying to, like, piece all the puzzles back together and get, of course, Gandolfini's dead, so, you know, what are you going to do with Tony Soprano anyway? Only way to deal with that is to go prequel.
I'm going to be straight up with you. I never finished the first season.
Oh, why? You didn't like it?
I think it was just the wrong timing.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it was already done, and I had a roommate who was like, we should watch this together, and... We started, and then just like our schedules never matched, and
so
just dipped off.
That's one of my favorite shows of all time.
Yeah.
I had back surgery right around the time that they were leading up to the final episodes.
Oh.
So Amy kept buying me box sets, and I would watch the entire season. I caught up with the entire series in time so that I could watch the final episode when it hit.
Awesome.
Yeah,
that's
it was awesome. Okay, so the next trailer we have this week is Freaks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Is it okay?
Do yourself a favor. Don't watch this trailer.
Why is that? You didn't like it?
I think it's too scary for me. I think it's too stressful. I don't like little kids being trapped. I don't like little kids being, you know, it just looked awful, like abusive. And I don't mean awful in the sense of like a bad movie. I'm sure it's going to be, I have no idea if it's going to be good or not, but I'm sure it's a good, legit movie, horror movie. But the trailer to me with that little girl in that situation is way too stressful.
Yeah.
I did watch the whole thing only because I wanted to be able to say I did.
I want to show you. I'm gonna pull up something here. I want to read for you about what, when I watched this trailer, this is, these are the tags that were listed under this movie online. Comedy, kids, family, and animated film, blockbuster.
What delusional person put those? Is that somebody being funny, or is that like that's the actual tags?
I think maybe they were just tagging like anything for film under it, but like that's what was tagged for the YouTube video on what I think is the actual.
If you care anything about children, this trailer is going to be hard to watch.
Okay. So one, the dude in it looks like Jack Black's kid.
Okay.
I mean, yeah. I thought it was Jack Black, and it was like just lost a lot.
I saw a lot of people commented on that.
Yeah. But from what I understand, from what I read in an article about it, is that imagine X-Men, like a world where mutants exist, right? But instead of like the semi-racist parallel that X-Men has, this is like Nazi parallel, and that if anyone has this, they're like taken to a camp and like killed. Like if anyone shows any powers. So I think the little girl has powers, or like it's kind of semi post-apocalyptic because they're hunting down people who have powers to take them away. And I think that like kids are the ones developing it, so that's why they have the guy in the ice cream thing, like to draw the kids out.
Gotcha.
And capture them.
Was that Bruce Dern?
I don't know.
Creepy as hell.
It was pretty creepy. He was pretending to blow the bubbles, and they were just like coming out of the truck next to him. That was, yeah. Anyway.
I don't want to see that movie. I'll tell you right now.
Really? Because usually a scary movie, you're like, I don't know. I'll watch it.
No, I'm totally down for a scary movie. I don't know. Maybe if I see more trailers and I see there's more to it. I watched Brightburn. I didn't find that disturbing. You know.
Okay. All right, well, moving on, we have a movie that I know you're anticipating. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood had a new trailer come out. I guess official trailer, the other one was a teaser, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it looks great. I think we get more of a picture of what this movie might be about. My question is, who murders who? Because I got the feeling that this movie is going to be a murder, like, cover-up movie or something, and that they just haven't revealed that plot point yet. What do you think?
I was going to interrupt you because you said we see this movie and we get a little bit more about what this movie is about. And I was going to interrupt you and say, what the hell is this movie about? I watched this trailer and I loved it. And I'm still like super hyped to see this movie. But it's so confusing because they're movie stars. So a lot of the action is just them doing movies.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I guess what's his name? Leo is he's a big actor and he gets washed up, or he thinks he's washed up.
Well, there's some Charlie Manson references in there.
Mm-hmm.
So is this a story about Hollywood? You know, is this a story about LA? I mean, the title of the movie is Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. So,
right.
You know, is this Tarantino, you know, kicking dirt in the face of Hollywood?
I'm going to throw this in the air.
Hit me.
Is this part of the Once Upon a Time in Mexico, Once Upon a Time? Is this like secretly number three in that series? It ends with a shoot-off?
I watched this trailer in a movie theater at that conference I was telling you about like a couple weeks ago. And everybody around me was like, what is that movie about? Like none of us could tell what it was about, which is fine. It's Tarantino, so you know it's going to be weird in an awesome way.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm super excited to see this movie. But I have no clue.
Who knows?
I have no clue.
Who knows?
I'm lost.
I'm on board with
Actually, while you're talking, I was just sitting here thinking to myself, you know what I need to do? I want to go watch that trailer again. Like, I think it's the kind of trailer, like, I need to cue it up and watch it again.
Oh, well, I got the murder thing, because there's a scene where they're walking down the street and, like, someone's holding a gun. And it's like a silhouette of a gun in their hand. I was like, I wonder if they kill somebody because they're jealous of them being famous, like, keep him in line or... Anyway. Okay, another one I thought looked good, and apparently, I guess it's pretty mixed online, Terminator Dark Fate. What do you think of this one?
I was kind of cool to it until I saw, what's her name, from the original?
Linda Carter?
Linda Carter. Isn't that Wonder Woman?
Yeah.
But I feel like that's almost her name. Because I was going to say Linda Carter, too. And then I didn't, because I was like, dummy, that's Wonder Woman.
I don't know why I can't think of her name, because it's what is her name?
You do want to say Linda Carter. Maybe there's two Linda Carters.
Maybe there are two. Okay, so Wonder Woman's in this
Maybe
movie.
It's a multiverse. So I was cool to this because I was like, huh, like, all right. Then when she comes back.
Yeah.
And sort of ties a little bit, you know, shout out to the original. And then when Schwarzenegger comes out of the cabin with his gray beard, I was like, all right, this is cool. Like, I know it's hokey and probably people are going to complain about the two of them being in it. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was cool. I think this is going to be a fun movie.
So I did a little bit of research. As you know, Professor Moulton.
Yes.
On point. This, according to James Cameron.
I'm sorry. Don't lose your train of thought, but I wanted to say I was also really encouraged to see that he's a producer or maybe even like the producer.
Right.
That gives you a lot of confidence. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
He's saying that he considers this Terminator 3 and that the other ones are not part of the – like it's Terminator 2 Judgment Day, Terminator Dark Fate, a trilogy. And the other movies are not canon. In this retrospect. So, yeah. So she, Linda Carter's, her name is Linda Carter in it?
No, it's Linda Hamilton.
Linda Hamilton. What's her
name?
And
she plays Sarah Connor.
Sarah Connor.
Yeah.
Wow.
So as soon as she comes into the trailer, I was like, okay, this is cool. This
we
comes
basically
back to
had
you.
It though.
Oh yeah, we were right there.
We're right there.
Yeah. Come on. Come on. On the curve, we would have aced it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, supposedly, the Arnold Schwarzenegger character may be the guy the Terminator is based off of and not actually a Terminator in this movie.
Ah.
So.
Oh, that would be super cool.
Yeah. Because I guess in one of like the special features for the second movie.
Yeah.
Or the third one or whatever, they did a funny thing where he played the guy they were basing it off of doing a commercial. Like, they're basing these army soldiers off of me. And he was like,
yeah.
Like one of those Troy McClure things.
This reminds me what you just said about James Cameron, what James Cameron said about this. That kind of reminds me about how Stallone approached Rocky Balboa. Like he had Rocky and Rocky II and then Rocky Balboa.
Yeah.
Like skip Rocky 3 through 14. Mm-hmm. Just go straight to Rocky Balboa and then it ties together.
Yeah.
Dumb.
The one thing that holds me back on this is I feel like we've heard this before with this franchise. Oh, well, this is a new – this is a reboot. And then you're like, no, wait. It somehow still ties in.
A reboot is still a remake.
Yeah.
It's still whatever. All right. So the final trailer, we learned another interesting thing about trailers. Big week for learning about trailers.
Yeah.
I watched the trailer for Final Blood, for Rambo Final Blood.
Okay.
And I said to David, hey, you know, let's put this on a list. And I sent it. And the only trailer that you could find was a bootleg.
From Cannes Film Festival.
Cannes Film Festival. So it's interesting that apparently the studios. So I watched a movie because Lionsgate emailed, or not the movie, the trailer. Lionsgate emailed me a link to the trailer. So that's interesting that some studios are sending trailers directly to theater owners ahead of time before they're available out on the internet.
So then we watched that again here in the office, and one of the interesting things at the beginning, it had like that classic like film startup beat with the color palette and everything.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this is really raw. It's not,
yeah,
you know, yeah.
Did I tell you I saw the Angry Birds 2 trailer? it was really neat because I saw the Angry Birds 2 trailer that conference, and they weren't done with the coloring. Yeah. That was really neat to sort of see that. Okay, so Rambo Final Blood. I'm on board. Yeah. I mean, I'm just like, here's the thing. Everybody loves to make fun of Stallone, and that's fine, whatever. The guy, in my opinion, he makes good movies, and he has just been going through his franchises, checking boxes, tying things up.
Right.
And if this is him checking that box and tying up Rambo, I love how he did Rocky Balboa, and he started Creed.
Yeah.
And it'll be fun to see how Creed progresses when Stallone decides that he's no longer in the Creed movies. Mm-hmm. He doesn't need to be anymore, in my opinion. Certainly, Creed stands on its own. And so with that in mind, I have a high degree of confidence. I trust Stallone to make this good movie. And I know everybody's all hoity-toity. He's not, you know, he's not Tarantino or James Cameron or whatever. You know, I don't care.
Yeah.
I think he makes good movies.
They're definitely fun.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Here's the thing. This trailer looks a lot of fun. I want to see this movie. This is not a knock on the movie. But I really feel like they should have called it Rambo Home Alone. Because that's what it is. He sets up all these like Home Alone style traps all throughout his farm.
Yes,
and
he does.
He captures these people. The only thing that would have made it better is if he would have been like, I got to call in some help. And then you have Macaulay Culkin like join him to, like, as an old war buddy.
The only thing missing is like the can of paint swinging from the staircase.
Well, at one point the guy walks in the room, he hits something, and it's like a rake. Like, hits the guy, except for instead of the pole, it's the rake part, of course, like stabbing him. So, yeah, Rambo Home Alone is all I could think of while I was watching it. But it does look pretty good. So when that hits like the interwebs.
September. When the trailer hits the interwebs, check it out.
Yeah, sure. So let's talk about this weekend in movies.
Yeah.
What's the big word? What's the happy haps?
Okay. I'm going to give it to you straight.
Okay, give it to
this
me.
This is what I do.
Give it to me straight.
There you go.
All right.
I'm all about
too straight. Can't handle it.
This was a classic weekend where my mind was all about Booksmart this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Booksmart finished sixth, which I guess in reality I knew that.
Yeah,
I'm not surprised. I had it opening down in Theater 13. I probably could have had it like in Theater 7, you know, probably. But I loved the movie. I was so excited for it. Sometimes I put movies in a theater a little bit bigger than they deserve because I'm trying to send that good mojo. You know what I mean? Like I'm willing it, you know, to be successful. And it was successful. I mean, Booksmart opened with $7 million. Brightburn opened with $8 million, both of which is respectable for two small movies. But the big news was Aladdin, which everyone knew was going to be number one, but I believe it exceeded expectations. I think people were talking about it making in the $60 million range. And as we see here today, it's at $86
million
for the three-day weekend. So that's pretty impressive. I haven't seen it yet, but everyone I talked to loved it. So I think all that nonsense about whether or not Will Smith was working, apparently it worked.
Now, this is, okay, I'm curious about this movie.
Yeah.
Because I said to someone this week, I said, let's go see Aladdin. And they were like, I don't know, got some bad reviews.
You have headphones on, so you can't.
I sound much louder.
Can you hear the Aladdin song is playing outside our door, Theater 5? I can hear it.
I thought you were going to say I was talking too quiet.
As we are sitting here talking about this movie, I hear a whole new world coming through the walls. That's so trippy. All right, cool beans.
Yeah, so I said to her, I said, let's go see Aladdin this weekend. She said, I don't know, isn't that getting torn up? And I was like, I don't know. I didn't look at it. I just assumed it was going to be good. And then I went and checked Rotten Tomatoes, and it had something like a 53% on Rotten Tomatoes. Critical score. Audience score was like 90-something. And I'm like, I was talking to her, I was like, where do you think this really lies? Like, do you think that it's people who are going to like it no matter what that are reviewing it at the 90-some, or do you think that it's actually good? So what do you think? You think that it's actually, you didn't see it though, right?
I have an opinion on this conversation.
Oh my word. Let me just talk to people, okay?
I don't need to see the movie to answer your question.
Okay.
I am so... Somebody came up to me, I don't even remember who it was, and they were telling me I was going to go to the movies, but there was no good movies to see. And I was like, what do you mean there's no good movies? And she said, well, I wanted to see, what was it that she said? I think it was The Hustle. Oh, Palms. She said, I wanted to see Palms, but I pulled it up and it had like a 30% on Rotten Tomatoes. Who gives a shit? Like, these self-serving schmucks that like think that their opinion, like, who cares? Like, I'm so sick of people like, and I've been, this is not something new. This is not Penn getting old and cranky. This annoyed me back in the, before I ever built a theater. Like, who cares what the critics think? Maybe I care what my friends think. Mm-hmm. Maybe because I, you know, typically you think like your friends, typically.
Yeah. All three of them.
Right, both of them. So maybe I care what they think, but I'm just so like, a friend of mine texted me and said, sorry to hear about Aladdin, it's not getting great reviews. And I was like, the people who want to see Aladdin aren't reading reviews.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, Aladdin was made for kids.
I think people are taking a lot of kids to see it.
Yeah.
I think that's...
I mean, it's a kids movie.
Yeah.
Like, so if you're reading... Okay, so I will, as my one of my favorite things to do is contradict myself. If you're talking about, I don't know, some drama, even maybe an upcoming movie like Rocket Man, but if you're talking about like Godzilla, don't tell me what the critics think about it, because I don't care what the critics, I don't even care a little bit what the critics think. And Aladdin is a perfect example. All week, people were talking about how the critics don't like it and it's going to underperform and it's you know, they didn't do a good job with Will Smith and blah, blah, blah. And here we are sitting today and Sunday's not even over and it already made $86 million.
Yeah. Yeah.
What does that tell you about the critics? If the movie looks fun to you, you should go see it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the end of the story. If you don't want to see it, don't see it. If it doesn't look fun to you, if it looks stupid, then don't go see it. Like, why do you need to read some what somebody else thinks to...
You should just listen to this podcast where we tell you what we think and then base your decisions off of that.
Well, we're the only ones that secretly know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't stand movie critics. I'm interested to hear what people, real people. Right. I'm very interested. Like, if somebody wants to tell me what they thought about a movie, I'm genuinely interested in hearing what you think about a given movie.
Podcast at PennCinema.com.
Exactly. And that's true. I literally am. I'm genuinely, I love hearing about what people think about a certain movie. What I don't love is critics who write reviews a week ahead of time and bash a movie that's not intended for critical reviews. Right. Aladdin is intended to be a fun movie.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So since we're talking about reviews and how nobody's reviews matter, give me the straight and short on Brightburn. Because we kind of were like, I like it, but I don't know.
Did you see it yet?
No.
Okay,
but
I saw it.
I'm going off of what you had said before. But then I got the hint when we were talking again later that you were like, I don't know, this one's a little...
Okay, here's my actual thoughts on it.
Okay.
I really enjoyed it, and if you're into... If the trailer looked appealing to you, you should go see it, and you'll enjoy it. I bet you'll enjoy it. Here's my critical thoughts. Here's why I hedged on it just a little bit in some of my conversations. I wish there was more there.
Okay.
Right, so I feel like there...
It's shallow.
It's a little bit shallow. The ending is brilliant. I mean, you don't see that shit coming. You do not see that coming.
Okay.
And, or at least I didn't. And everything was really well made. I thought the acting was great. The little boy that plays the Brightburn, or that's not his character's name, but the star of the movie, he's amazing. I mean, creepy, creepy little kid. Great actor, talented actor. The mom and dad are great. And I really don't have anything particularly bad to say about any of the pieces of the movie. Where I hold back unilateral, you know... My one hesitation on Brightburn is that it sort of progresses very quickly and then it's over.
Mm.
There's not a whole lot of, it's a pretty, put it this way, it's like a straight line movie. You know, it has a beginning and a middle and an end, and there's no deviation from the course that you're on. There's no sort of, I just wish there was more there. The other thing that was interesting about it, if you're super sensitive, you might not want to see it, because the guy who was sitting next to me when I saw it, he was like, I hated that movie. I said, how could you hate that movie? And he said, I don't like to see kids blowing stuff up.
Mm.
And I was like, all right, well, that's fair. But I didn't. But I mean, just earlier in this very episode, I was sitting here being a little wussy about that other movie, Freaks. And yet I watched Brightburn, and that thought didn't even cross my mind. And I guess probably the difference is the little boy in Brightburn is by no means any kind of victim.
Yeah.
You know.
Hmm. Interesting. Well, I do want to see it. I just keep I for whatever reason in my mind I thought it came out next week.
So if Brightburn looks interesting to you, if you think it you know, then I would recommend it, go see it. You'll probably enjoy it.
Hmm.
But if you were kind of it's not the kind of movie where I'm telling people like, "Hey, you need to find time, make sure you see this movie,"
right.
Which is what I'm telling people about Booksmart.
Yeah.
You got to see Booksmart.
Let's get right into our review. So I feel like the things I'm seeing online, like the ads are like, believe the hype, they keep saying.
Yeah.
So I think the marketing team knows that, like, this is one of those movies, after people see it, they'll recommend it.
Yeah.
But it's maybe not catchy enough to bring people in right away. Do you agree with that? Well, I mean, we love the trailers right away, but, like, general audience, do you think general audience is like, oh, Booksmart? But I think after they see it, they're like, oh, that was a good movie. Superbad was kind of like that, too.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it definitely has good word of mouth, if that's what you're asking. I'm a little bit, I don't really understand the marketing for this, or I should say the lack of marketing.
Mm.
Like, had for a while there, it had 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, which a guy like me doesn't care about, but apparently the rest of the world does. I get that. I understand that people do. I'm just ranting about my own opinion, but I know that a lot of people look at Rotten Tomatoes and trust that and value their input. So Rotten Tomatoes has 100% on this film, and yet in my daily travels, you know, I'm getting a bagel at Do-Si-Do, and they're like, they never heard of it. You know what I mean? And I'm surprised at how many people I run into who I'm out hyping this movie, and they never heard of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, it has good word of mouth. I don't think, like, it opened to $7 million this weekend. Next weekend, it's going to do $3.5 million. It's not going to do $8 million.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And because it's such a good movie, it'll do 3.5 or 4 million as opposed to 2 million. You know what I mean? Because it's good, it won't drop that hard. But I think this is just going to be one of those movies where, like, people who follow movies and know good funny comedies, like, a good analogy would be like Zombieland.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people never heard of Zombieland. Zombieland was one of my favorite movies that we watched here. It's hilarious. And there's decent, good, hardworking Americans who never saw Zombieland.
I feel like this is one of those movies that's going to really take off as a cultural, like, piece when it hits home video. Like, because then people are going to be like, oh.
Home video?
Well, you know what I mean.
What, like, is that?
Streaming or whatever. You
like,
know?
When it shows up at Blockbuster?
Yeah, when it shows up at Blockbuster. And you've got your 5-day free rental.
I think you might be right.
Yeah.
I had an interesting thought about this movie.
Mm-hmm.
See how this sits with you. Because before I saw the movie, I was telling everybody it's like Superbad with girls.
Yeah.
And then I was telling people it's like Superbad with girls, but there's more to it.
Yeah.
Which I wasn't sure what that more was, but I definitely could tell that there was going to be more to it. And there was. After I saw the movie, here's how I'm describing it to people. And you tell me if you agree with this. I think this is a modern day John Hughes movie.
Yeah. Okay.
And here's why. It's crazy and wild, like Superbad and Hangover and Zombieland, and it has that insanity level to it, and that's great.
But it's not too insane.
Right. It's not too insane, and there's some corny feel-good stuff.
Right.
There's some cheese in this movie.
Yeah.
You know, and it has some, you know, touchy-feely is the wrong word, but it sort of, you know, everything kind of wraps up nicely. Nice and neat, you know, and it... Upon reflection, it reminded me of a John Hughes movie. So you might be right that when this movie gets out and people are watching it at home and sort of more watching it, I think this movie will stand for a long time.
Yeah, I think it's the type of movie that people who like it are going to watch it over and over again, like in their free time.
Yeah.
It's definitely an R-rated comedy.
Yeah.
I mean, but it's not like, I mean, I've seen worse.
Yeah.
You know? It was funny because we saw it with we'll talk in a minute about, like, the group we saw it with, but our good friend Becky Woodhouse brought her daughters with, and we were leaving the theater, and she goes, "Well, guess I don't need to have the sex talk with my kids anymore.
Yeah.
So, and I know before we went in, you and Amy were both like, oh man, our girls are going to be right behind us.
Yeah,
So
nothing will ever be worse than when I attended the employee screening of Superbad. I walked into that movie. I was still laughing my ass off, but in the back of my head, I was thinking to myself, I'm definitely getting sued. Again.
Again. Yeah.
Get in line.
My boy Mike was sitting between two younger girls that he didn't even know. He just picked a seat randomly, and they were just on either side of him. And he was like, I don't know if I could be laughing at this stuff. Like, is it okay?
Yeah, yeah.
So, but I loved this movie. I thought it was great. It, at no point was I bored. No point was I just waiting for the next, like, joke to happen. Like, the jokes felt natural.
Right.
They progressed fine. Nothing seemed, like, entirely crazy impossible. The stereotypes that were kind of blown up with these characters, they worked.
Right.
Without being too... I mean, they were ridiculous, but they still worked.
One of my favorite scenes in the movie was... when the main character is in the bathroom and she overhears the other kids talking about her.
Yeah.
And the other kids at that point are sort of cliches. You know, they're stoner, they're burnout, they're drawing pictures on the wall. And but then it's sort of revealed, like, oh, I'm going to Yale too.
Yeah.
And then the other kid's like, I'm going to Stanford. And the other kid's like, I'm playing soccer at Dartmouth or wherever. And it sort of like blew the lid off of... you know, all those other movies where you have the stereotyped cliche, you know, burnout party kids.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really, and then that was a theme throughout the entire movie, which I thought was absolutely brilliant. I love her graduation speech where she's like, I see you.
Yeah.
You know, and I thought that was really powerful. And I think that really speaks to what kids are talking about now. You know, that I'm more than what my, you know, stereotype would lend you to think.
I'm gonna hark on that scene too, because one of the things that I took from it immediately, and the character plays a larger girl, and you know I've dealt with weight in my life, and the thing was at no point was that the reason that they hated her.
Right.
I thought that was really cool, because even the guys are like, I still think she's attractive.
Yeah.
I hate her personality.
Right.
And I thought they could have easily gone fat shaming, and they didn't.
Right.
And that was really cool.
The guy said, I put a bag over her personality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I thought I give him big props on that.
Yeah.
Another part of this that really spoke to me, my best friend, Chris.
Jerk.
Jerk. he went away for a little bit to do college out of town.
Yeah.
And it was like, and in some ways I felt like, you know, abandoned.
Why'd you leave me?
I know. And they deal with that in this, like, there's some of these best friends are like, she finds out the girl's going to be gone longer. And she's just like, how could you leave me? You know, what about our plans? And and I was like, you know, when I was that age, I went through that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, I thought it was a really good movie. I definitely recommend it. Totally on board.
And so, Amy and I both loved it, and so did our daughters.
Yeah.
You know, so you have the whole sort of spectrum. Like, it's appealing to people in their 40s. It's appealing to kids. Like, yeah, I think this movie stands on its own for a long time. I can't wait to see what Olivia Wilde does next.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Now, let's talk about how we watched this movie.
Yeah. the first ever Penn Cinema podcast screening.
Yeah, which I'm sure there'll be more. This was a lot of fun. We did trivia beforehand, podcast trivia. Yeah,
really intense.
Hardcore. Ooh. Hardcore. We were talking in the room beforehand, and we were talking about who we were expected to see here. And we were just naming off some of the people who've written into podcast at PennCinema.com. And are like, we got Mennonite Separation Becky coming. We got Laugh Out Loud Jamie.
Like, the Mystery Gobble.
Mystery Gobble. Like, everyone, all these. And the one guy goes, wow, I feel like I'm really missing out on the show. You got all these, like, in-depth names. It's like, I mean,
what's up, man? What's drop up? Us a line.
Shut up. We almost need like sound effects every time we mention these, like Mystery Gobble. You need like a gobble gobble gobble, you know, noise that you play. Yeah. So it was a lot of fun. It was cool to see people there. I mean, it was what, 25 people or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a decent amount of people. It was fun. There were people that we don't know if they were knew who we were.
Yeah, anything. There was definitely a guy in the front. Did you see that guy?
Yeah, yeah.
There was definitely a guy who was like, what is this? I just bought a ticket to see this movie, and now these two yo-yos.
He won a hat?
He won a hat. That's why I gave him the hat, because yeah. I was like, I'm getting this guy involved.
And then he wore it, too, so yeah. It was great.
He had a great sense of humor about it. And he, what was his thing? He knew about the Red Band, Green Band thing, I think.
Yeah, Red and Green Band trailer. Yeah, yeah. So it was fun. It was I had invited my friend Jamie, who's written it before, about coming along.
LOL Jamie.
Yeah, LOL Jamie. And she showed up. I told her like four times. This is just like when she wrote in. She was like, David, she says I don't pay attention. I told her like four times what this was.
Right.
And I was like, you know, it's this thing. You need to be there on time. She strolls in like right at 7. Right. And she's like, oh, Penn, I just thought we were watching a movie.
Right. The whole audience is waiting.
Yeah.
Right.
Waiting on her.
Right.
Yeah. And I just thought this was the thing. She didn't even. And then even after we affirmed that it was a thing, and we walk into the theater, and she goes to the seat, she didn't expect us to like be doing anything.
Come on, man.
Come on, Jamie. So anyway, it was a ton of fun. Hopefully next time we do it, some more of you guys can come out. Maybe we'll pick something a little bit more already popular.
So, yes, I agree with that. We'll do another Penn Cinema podcast, and we'll do a bigger title. I'd like to introduce a new segment to the show.
Okay, here it is.
You ready?
Here it is.
Right? This is exciting. This is exciting. Because I always have a problem. So I'd like to introduce this new segment called What's Your Problem?
What's Your Problem?
Or like, What's Your Problem, Penn? Like, that could be what it's called. And here's my problem.
Okay.
All right. So I'm going to work backwards.
Okay.
With Booksmart,
uh-huh.
I have no problems.
Mm-hmm.
I love this movie. I have no problem with Booksmart.
With David, lots of problems.
I got some other problems I'd like to just get off my chest.
Okay.
We didn't talk about John Wick. Two problems I have with John Wick.
Okay.
I didn't mention them because I didn't want to, because I liked the movie.
Okay.
And I'm not trying to say bad things. My two problems are, why every time John Wick steps outside, it's pouring rain?
It's because no one knows how to fashion his hair. So, it's Keanu Reeves' hair. They're just making it wet.
Okay, but that's not even my problem. That's not even my problem.
Oh, my gosh.
My problem is he steps outside in torrential rain. All right, now don't write me to tell me that rain symbolizes cleansing. And I know what rain symbolizes. I know why it's in movies, blah, blah, blah. But it's not effective as a cleanser if it's always raining every time he steps outside. But that's not even my problem. Here's my problem. Have you ever, like, walked through, like, the torrential rain that they have in the movies at John Wick? Like, when you walk through that kind of rain, you are wet all morning. Not John Wick.
No. Well, he's like a wick. He has a
massive, you know, fight in the torrential rain, and he's two steps into the Continental, and he's all cleaned up and dry. All his clothes are dry. That's my big problem. That's my problem with John
Wick. What's your problem, Penn?
All right, right. What's your problem, Penn? A segment you can look forward to every week.
Every.
Now, I would also like to get off my chest another problem I have.
Oh, okay.
This one's with a trailer.
Oh.
We discussed, I'm excited for Terminator.
Mm-hmm.
It's impossible. You can't beat these guys. Every time you shoot them, like, they come back.
Yeah.
To me, this is like our conversation we had about Superman and Captain Marvel. Like, Terminator, the bad guys are OP.
Yeah.
So then Sarah Connor says, oh, we kill them by keeping you – we win by keeping you alive. What is that?
Well, in all the movies – well, not all of them, but like especially like Terminator 2, like the only way to beat them was to stop them from ever being created.
To go back in time.
Well – no, was it the first one they destroy the chip, or the second one? One of them they destroy the chip that they're based off of.
Yeah.
But then you deal with that, like, you know, fate finds a way.
This is my problem with a lot of movies where, like, 17 guys are shooting, the bad guys are always shooting, and they can't hit one guy, and then the good guy can hit 17 of them with 16 shots.
Why in the world is going on with this Aladdin movie? Why is it so much louder than everything else that's been playing over here?
Okay. I have one last small problem. I have one last small problem to share.
Yeah.
I don't like that Mortal Kombat has a K.
It's always had a K.
I know it has always had a K. I get it. Like, that's fine. But why can't we just call it Mortal Kombat? Like, why can't it have a C? What is the big... Somebody podcast at PennCinema.com. Let me know why the K is so important.
I bet you it had to do with copyright at the time it was made.
Okay.
I bet you.
That concludes this week's segment of What's Your Problem
with Penn? All right.
No, it's not What's Your Problem with Penn.
Oh, that's a long
That's a
list.
Whole separate episode. You got to form a line. You need to have a sign-up sheet for that problem. People will be waiting in the lobby, queuing up, you know.
Special segment.
Right, we need an usher for that segment.
Okay. Well, let's get into listener notes or... as we are calling it today, What's Your Problem with Penn? All right. Pirate Dave, he wrote in, he had a bunch of stuff to say, but big, big things. He said, Robert Pattinson is killing it these days. And he reaffirmed kind of what I was saying, but just he listed some of the names that I don't have in front of me, like some of the stuff he's been doing lately that's been really good. And apparently he's kind of turned him, not turned around, but like he's exercising his chops post-Twilight.
Right. I feel like what Dave said was Dave affirmed what you and I said we hoped was happening, which was this guy, Robert Pattinson, sort of got started with Twilight. Pattinson. I know.
Sorry.
I get it. He got started with Twilight, which is such a cheesy, like, awful franchise. But since then, he's proven, you know, no, he's serious. He's a legit actor. And I feel like what Dave pointed out to us was like, yeah, here's the evidence that says Robert Pattinson like probably can be good, you know.
Right.
So therefore, I was really encouraged, you know, by those notes, and I feel like I want to look him up and watch some of his work.
Yeah, another thing that he pointed out was that I had been saying that Rian Johnson had maybe done the Planet of the Apes movies, which is why I was giving him a benefit of the doubt. Pirate Dave says, no, Matt Reeves did the Planet of the Apes movies, and Matt Reeves is directing the Robert Pattinson Batman movie. And that's why we should give him the benefit of the doubt.
Nice.
So I'm with you on that one.
Okay, so we're holding out hope for Batman.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, so then the Mystery Gobble.
Mystery Gobble always has the most insightful, deep, you know.
Hard-hitting. Well, he harps back to our news on Bond with the surgery and everything. He said that they're still projecting April 2020 release of this movie.
Yeah.
So whatever this big deal is, this hoopla,
right.
Apparently it's not that big of a hoopla.
Not that big of a deal.
Or they just put Bond in a wheelchair for most of the movie.
Right.
And then they move around it. So I guess it's not that big of a deal.
And Gobble had made some jokes. We had all made some jokes about building a new theater in Nebraska. And I had said, well, now that I heard that James Bond was off, I had started planning at the new one in Oklahoma. So now we're back to Nebraska.
Back to Nebraska. Yeah.
Thank God, because we got that friend of yours who...
Yeah, Jim's out there waiting for it to
Jim's
open.
Jim's ready to open it.
Mr. Manager.
Right.
Speaking of the real Mr. Manager right here downstairs,
up?
He told me he hasn't watched a movie in over a year.
I believe it. He's got two little kids.
I know. Isn't there some sort of like bylaw to your employees that like, in order to stay employed at Penn Cinema, you have to watch one movie every 3 months? No.
No, our bylaws state you take care of your family first. Yeah. Yeah, you got to raise your little kids, man.
Did Mrs. Derek get to you or something? Where's the jokes?
When my kids were little, I was just so grateful when they finally started. Like, I think the first movie, Marley can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the first movie I remember taking her to was like Cars and what was that movie? Madagascar. And it was so fun when they start getting old enough that we could start seeing kids' movies with them, because that was the only way I could get out to see the movies. We drove over to E-Town. Mm. So no, Mr. Manager, man, he's all right.
Yeah.
He's all right.
All the props to Joel. I'm joking around about this.
He's
completely
the man.
I just thought it was, I was like, he's like, people think I don't like movies, but that's not it. And I was like,
let me tell
you're fine.
Something about Mr. Manager.
Yeah.
Mr. Manager, on more than one occasion, I have gotten texts out of the blue from friends of mine telling me, hey, just want to let you know, Joel Holler took care of me today at the theater. And boy, he's the best. And, you know, how great it was.
That's why they call him Mr. Manager.
He's the best.
So, all right, one more write-in from Jordan Stolzfus. Jordan says he's been hitting up Studio Ghibli Fest, whenever it's out. It's once a month, right? Something like that. He said he's been seeing it. He said he wanted us to talk about the Studio Ghibli films, see what we would think. Have you ever watched any of them?
I hate when you ask me direct questions like that. I like it better when you say, what do you think about Studio Ghibli? And then I can make up some bullshit answer and, like, dodge the question. When you say, have you ever seen one? I feel like I need to answer. It's so hard to hide from that question.
I'm calling you out right here, right now.
I you know how awful my memory is, but I don't think I've ever seen one. And when I read Jordan's email, I thought to myself, I need to get hip to this. I need to see this stuff because it's always been – we had a guy, Kenny, used to work here, and he was a big fan, or at least I think he was. And I don't think I've ever seen one.
Okay.
Do I need to?
After this is over, let's look and see. I can tell you if any of the good ones are left, and maybe we'll do one for our review.
What do you mean left?
Well, it's like, I think it's once a month or once every couple of weeks or whatever. It's a Fathom event.
Okay. No.
And
yeah. That much I know.
You know?
I know how much we pay film rent. I know the run times.
But there are some that are better than others.
Okay.
And they're like, I know my favorite one's already passed, but there's another one, Spirited Away, which won like a bunch of awards when it came out, like Best Animated Film and stuff. If that hasn't passed, we should watch that one because it's really good.
Okay.
We'll talk. But he also said he really enjoys when we talk about behind the scenes stuff. Specifically you, not me. What do I know? But when you're talking about behind the scenes stuff. So definitely all of that, all around, more of that. So thanks
good
for writing
stuff.
In, Jordan. Yeah. Podcast at PennCinema.com. Write us in. Let us know what you're thinking. Penn, what have you been dipping into this week? You don't have to get too deep.
I'm going hardcore into Veep. I mean, Amy has me on Veep, and I'm like short on sleep because we're like watching Veep, and we're like, should we watch one more? All right, we'll watch one more. You know, and at the end of every single episode, we're like, all right, one more. We'll watch, and we've seen them. I mean, it's not like it's new, but so we're pretty. Spending a lot of our viewing time on Veep. But I did dip into this new show. Well, there's a couple. I think we talked about Dead to Me, which I'm continuing to enjoy. But have you seen this new one, What If?
I saw a trailer for it, and I was just waiting for it to be one of those things that explored hypothetical, like, what if I made this choice instead of that choice?
Right.
But it's not that. It's more of a, like, only going off the trailer, the lady gives hardball, like, it's either do this thing or nothing.
Right.
And then, like, the psychological results of that. Is that correct?
I think so. Okay. I haven't gotten very far into it, but it fascinates me because, a big part of my faith is this sort of belief that, it's like the old saying, like, everything happens for a reason. You know, there's God's plan and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And that always raises interesting questions about, like, well, if everything's already predetermined, then why do I bother, like, eating right, for example, it's sort of if you let it get into you the wrong way, you can make some really bad decisions. And I think that's what this show sort of explores. So I think it's an interesting premise. I haven't gotten very far.
All I know from the trailer from that point of view is that she says, I'll finance your company, but it'll cost you, I get a night with your husband.
Yeah.
And then later she's like, you'll always wonder what happened
right.
while you weren't there
yeah.
with me and your husband.
I also have been watching I skipped the second season and started watching the third season of True Detective.
Oh.
Which I really enjoy.
Yeah, because you don't have to watch them together, right?
They don't connect. Right, each one's independent. And I heard the second one really sucked, so I skipped it.
I haven't ever seen any of them. So I finished up Game of Thrones, which means it's time for you to get started.
Okay.
Because it's all done.
Right.
If you want to talk about Game of Thrones, go online. You can find plenty about it. So I'll just say that I thought it ended. And it was fine. It's not what I wanted, but what are you going to do?
Whatever.
It's over. Here's what really surprised me this week. I'm a big fan of the first season of Westworld. Huge fan.
Sure.
Have you watched it?
Oh, yeah, man. I'm all about it.
Yeah. Second season came out. People were like, it's not that great. It's not that great. I don't know what they were talking about.
Yeah.
I just started and finished this week, the second season of Westworld, and I thought it was great. I love the way it ended. I know that they just released a trailer for season three, but they could have, like, season one ended with a bunch of ambiguity and like, oh, this crazy stuff's going to happen. What? Who knows? But, like, season two ended in a way where I would have been comfortable with it. It would have been like, that was it. Like, you know, there's room for more stories, but really, you've concluded, like, this chapter of it, and it was really well done. The trailer for season three looks pretty interesting as well. It's got Aaron Paul from Breaking Bad in it, so looking forward to that.
Loved him.
And then dipping back into Paper Girls, I'm now, like, mostly through it. Time travel shenanigans.
Ballyhoo.
Ballyhoo. I love this series. If you like Stranger Things, if you like 80s themed stuff, read this time travel about these 80s girls bipping about through the future and the past.
That's a book, Paper Girls.
Paper Girls.
All right.
It's a graphic novel. It's really well done. So that's what we got. So what are we doing next week?
Well, next week the three big movies are Godzilla, Ma, and Rocketman.
I want to see all three of those. Which one do you feel like we should watch?
Well, I want to watch all three of them as well, but I feel like Godzilla is sort of the obvious one to talk about.
Yeah. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I mean, Godzilla is one of those ones that, like, I got really hyped for, and then I cut myself off from media because I felt they were too much of it, and it was going to start souring. So I haven't really been following all the little clips or anything.
And I also think about the podcast, like, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Like,
you're going to listen or not, whatever.
Right. There's other stuff.
Yeah. All right. So we'll talk about Godzilla next week.
Right.
So don't forget, you can write us in. You can hit us up on Facebook. We've got podcasts at PennCinema.com. All the good ways to get in touch with us. Go to the movies. Tell us what you think about movies. And once again, for the podcast, I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum. Take care and party on.
Thanks for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.